The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I am Kuule Agbayani. And this morning, alongside Michael Lascaro joining us in making all of the magic happen here in studio. Good morning, Michael.
What is up? What is up?
And I got to tell you guys, Michael is representing today, representing the HPU, well, Sharks / he has a very vintage jacket on with the Sea Warriors jacket. Definitely got to post it on our social media yesterday because he's trying to send the good vibes into the universe as the HPU men's basketball team gets set to take on Azusa Pacific in the quarterfinal round to open the PacWest Conference Tournament. Paul Brecht, that's where he is in San Diego, California, at Point Loma, getting ready to bring you the action. So be sure to stick around for, well, following this show, we have a special Sharks Weekly featuring men's basketball, which we had pre-recorded before the team left, because, you know, it kind of would have been a bit hard to do that show live. Because they kind of have a big game today to worry about. So, but right after the show, Sharks Weekly featuring men's basketball. And then at 10:30, so maybe around like 10:20-ish, we'll hear from Paul Brecht and start the play-by-play for HPU men's basketball. And Azusa Pacific winner would go move on to face the number 2 overall seed in RU, whatever they call themselves. I really don't know anymore, in the semifinals. But we will also hear from Paul Brecht coming up a little later in the show, because just to chat about the season so far, get a little preview, and also get his thoughts on the postseason awards, in which a few HPU players got the nod. However, our coach got snubbed. Dang it. We were having very angry text messages yesterday when it all came out. I don't know how Jesse Nakanishi does not win Coach of the Year. But anyways, we will save that rant for when Paul Brecht joins us coming up on the show. Also coming up, we'll talk some University of Hawaii men's volleyball and hear from Alakai Todd, as they have a big weekend coming up this week with the Outrigger tournament and welcoming in the number 1 team in Grand Canyon tomorrow. Big game that does start today against Lewis, but then tomorrow is going to be insane. And a lot of events, even baseball is taking on Rice, so a lot of stuff. But first, want to get into some University of Hawaii men's basketball. Hawaii, why do you need to stress this out so much? they had a pretty significant lead throughout the entire game, if you guys watched that. I mean, halftime, they were only up by 1, 26-25 over CSUN. But the second half, you know, there were times where they led by around 10, 11, as much as 13 points in the second half. And, whew, it was a close one. But nonetheless, Hawaii comes out on top, 72-70. They are still technically fifth in the Big West Conference standings, because none of the teams have played yet, because it's their game was yesterday because of the volleyball tournament that we have this weekend. But a lot of the other teams, as you know, they play today and on Saturday, including the women's basketball team. But going back to the men's team, so fifth in the Big West Conference standings, half a game still ahead of, well, I guess now a whole game ahead of CSUN, one game ahead of UC Riverside and UC Santa Barbara, trying to get that top 4 seed in the Big West Conference Championships happening next week, because that would mean they get at least a single bye in the tournament. Long Beach, though, does have, it'll be interesting, because one of these teams have to lose. That would be UC Riverside, UC Santa Barbara, and Long Beach, who is just ahead of Hawaii at the moment. Long Beach has Santa Barbara and UC Davis left on their schedule for the rest of the season. So tonight is UC Santa Barbara and Saturday is UC Davis. So Hawaii just needs to make sure they keep winning, take care of business. They won last night and hopefully they win on Saturday, because that'll be a big deal. Please. But we're just too stressed out. Did you see that game at all yesterday, Michael? I was going insane.
I didn't see it, but I was kind of following. You know, as much as, you know, for Hawaii fans, you would want to go without the stress. You know, I think it's just kind of raising the price on these Island Heritage uniforms, you know, because it's iconic, right? And that was a crucial game. And heading into the postseason, you want to have these moments to prepare you for when, you know, it really does count. So stressful, but I think it's going to be good in the long run.
That is well said. They're just doing it for fun. They're putting their own stress on all of us and themselves, but have to take care of business against CSU Bakersfield on Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. And I'm glad you brought up the Island Heritage jerseys because that auction is going on right now. You can go to uhevent.com to bid on it because there are already jerseys that are gone. So the way that the auction has worked, let me reverse a little bit. So the jerseys that you guys saw the team wearing last night with, you know, a little blend of basketball and what we're used to seeing on the baseball players with the Kelly green and orange, those are up for auction. They'll wash it, of course. Don't worry. And before it gets shipped to you. But there was an option in the auction to, you can either bid or they have a buy it now. And Jovan McClanahan's jersey has already been bought. So it's $2,500 was the buy it now. Jovan McClanahan jersey is gone. Noel Coleman, his jersey's gone. Let's see. Justin McCoy's jersey is up to $1,000 right now. You see, Bernardo da Silva is at $515. 23. Who wears 23? I got to go look at the roster. Or is it just someone that likes the number 23? But I'm bringing it up because that jersey is gone. So $2,500. Number 23 is gone, 55 is gone, and number 34 is gone. So somebody really wanted those jerseys. There's also the shorts that have the 808 on one of the corners. There is also a Hawaiian Knights pair of shorts, the women's basketball shorts, and then they have these limited edition Island Heritage T-shirts that are Kelly green and orange, and also orange and green. So it's kind of the reverse. So a lot of stuff. Started at $50. There's a bunch of shirts that are up to $100. So a lot of cool things. They also have the Senior Night t-shirt that's already available. So the Senior Night t-shirts are pretty cool. They have like the netting so it has the vintage Hawaii font lettering. And then it has a basketball hoop. But the netting for the hoop is the tea leaf. So it looks really, really cool. And the back has like the seniors that will be honored on Saturday, and also their autograph or like printed signatures on the back. So it's really cool. They have a bunch of stuff on the auction. Again, uhevent.com to go and bid on these things. Even stuff from Rich Hill and Ty Atkins signed mini helmet. I just saw this one. So you can have a fan message on the video board in the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. The bid starts at $25. So you can send a special happy birthday to somebody or something. That's pretty cool. But from what I was told yesterday or the last number we saw, they are already up to like over $20,000 in this auction so far. So be sure to, yeah. And it's still got a few more days to go. So it's probably gone up ever since. The auction closes on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. So if you guys are interested, go check it out and bid on some of the stuff. I started to bid on the number 24 jersey, and then it just started getting too high.
So it gets shipped to the person that wins the bet, right? You don't actually have to stay till after the game to 10:30.
No. So you just, yeah, you bid online. So you can bid online, and they ship it to you. Again, they wash. Oh, no, I am winning the bid. Okay.
What are you bidding for, Koo?
The Island the jersey that were worn last night, but number 24, because that's my favorite number.
What if I bid like $1 more?
You have to bid in increments of $5, I think.
Good to know. Good to know for at least our listeners.
Yeah. So it's kind of expensive. Although maybe I'm kind of hoping someone outbids me because it's kind of expensive. I did this over when I was enjoying some beverages last night. So that's kind of what happened. I was, you know, all excited about the win and kind of bid on it. Anywho, going over to the women's basketball side, they're getting ready to take on CSUN on the road. But before we give you that info, here is what head coach Laura Beeman had to say earlier this week, talking about these upcoming games to close out the regular season.
fun week last week. Very emotional, very intense games that came down to the wire. Kind of solidified that 1-2 spot, which is what we wanted to do. It's time to refocus and get ourselves ready for CSUN and Bakersfield. CSUN had a good win for them the other night. You know, hopefully that's not putting them on some type of trajectory that they're starting to play their best basketball. We don't want that ever. Bakersfield's going to be fighting for their lives, so we know we're going to have two very, very difficult road games. But we'd like to be able to clinch this thing and be number one. You know, that's where we thought we should be all year long. And to finally see that possibly happening is really exciting for this group. But they're focused and ready to go. We have an early departure tomorrow morning, but we're gonna be ready.
What would it mean for you, just specifically for this year's team, to be able to clinch the one seed?
That's where we thought we should be all year long. And I know that I made a couple statements a couple different times I met with you guys about someone picked us third, and that really didn't sit well with me. Obviously, we're not a third-place team. So to be able to be chosen number one, to stay there almost throughout the conference season, I think that speaks volumes to what these kids can do when they set their minds to it. I think to capture that and be picked and stay there at the end would be really fun. Right now we got the double bye. We're excited about that for injury reasons. Get healthy and then take care of business in Henderson. So it would mean a lot to, again, be picked and finish that way. But right now that double bye and getting to Henderson is not overlooking games, but that's where our eyes are.
And that was Rainbow Wahine basketball head coach Laura Beeman speaking about their games. And as she said, they have already clinched a top two seed in the tournament. So either way, they have the double bye, even if they were to lose a couple of games. But of course, they have their sights set on the regular season conference title. So they just need one more win to clinch at least a tie for the program's third regular season conference title under head coach Laura Beeman and sixth overall. That's pretty crazy, right? Coach B, like, gets 50% of the regular season titles in program history. So just one win out of these next two games. But no matter what, they at least clinch the top two seeds and the double bye, as you heard her say. Mainly it's good for them because just so it gives them more time to get healthy. We haven't seen a full-strength Rainbow Wahine basketball team since, I don't even think we saw one in the beginning of the season, because even when they were playing some of the non-conference games, for whatever reason, we saw Lili Wahine Kapu get held out. I think it was like their Santa Clara game. We saw Deja Phillips get held out one of the games as well. And then, of course, Brooklyn Ruhrs was out for a while. And then Jackie David was out, still out in the beginning of the season. Now, when Brooklyn comes back, we don't have Imani Perez. So, yeah, I don't think this entire season, maybe the first game of the season, we've saw a healthy Rainbow Wahine basketball squad. But considering how well they're playing down this last stretch and not being full strength, I mean, I'm not going to say we told you so, but we kind of told you so that they were going to be this good. But they're just a fun basketball squad to watch. So they take on CSUN today, 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPN Plus. And hopefully to take care of business. So just get the win today and at least get at least a share or a tie. And then, of course, if they win on Saturday as well, then they'll win it outright. But just one win will get them at least a tie for the regular season conference title. And that's what we're looking forward to. By the way, just to kind of close out our UH basketball conversation. I had to look it up. That's why. So we were just talking about the auction. So the ones that have been sold already, again, $2,500 for the Island Heritage jersey. The players, Jovan McClanahan, as we mentioned, Noel Coleman, we talked about as well. Morsek, the number 23 jersey, and Akita Jacobs, the number 34 jersey, and Juan Munoz, number 55 jersey, all sold for the buy it now before the auction ended. $2,500 a piece. Not too shabby, but there's still a lot of jerseys available if you guys just want to. It's unique. They're one of a kind. So this is your chance. And I think that's why they're going for so much. Just don't bid on the number 24 jersey, please. Thanks. UHEvent.com. When we come back, we will chat with Paul Brecht about HPU men's basketball as he is out there at Point Loma ready to bring you the action later this morning. So we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule Agbayani, Michael Lescaro, and now welcoming in Paul Brecht, who is joining us live from San Diego, California, Point Loma to be exact, ready to bring you the HPU men's basketball action against Azusa Pacific in the quarterfinal round of the PacWest Conference Tournament. Paul, what's up, man?
Cool. I am so excited to be on with you guys. A beautiful day here in San Diego. The team is getting ready to go. They're getting all taped up. We're heading over to the gym here soon. So, beautiful day here in San Diego. It would be a beautiful day for a win.
That's what we're hoping for. And by the way, I told our listeners this already to open the show, but I have to tell you, and I'll take a photo for it for our social media. But Michael is sending all the good vibes to HPU today. He's wearing an HPU t-shirt, but he is also sporting a vintage HPU Sea Warriors jacket this morning. So all the good vibes only. Heading over there in San Diego. I know he's representing right now, so we'll show it for everybody on social media later. But before we get into the game coming up later this morning, well, at least morning here in Hawaii, I want to get your thoughts on the HPU Sharks that were selected to all PacWest teams ahead of the conference tournament, that being Diggy Winbush, Mai Dusanich, and Melo Sanchez.
I could not be more proud of these guys. They have had awesome, awesome years. All three of them, first-time selections to the All-PacWest teams. Sanchez, the highest selection in a few seasons for HPU. They had a first-teamer 3 years ago, but since then it's been rough sailing. So he's had a great year. He's top 10 in the conference in scoring, though he's taken a dip over the past few games, hoping to see him kick it back up for the conference tournament. And then Mai Dusanich, you want to talk about a guy who's an X factor for this HPU team. The growth that you've seen from him from year one to year two in the blue and gray is honestly, it's almost unspeakable. You double your scoring output. He's shooting 62% from the field, even higher than that since conference play started. I honestly felt that he probably got robbed of a second team selection. But overall, I was happy to see him get selected. I kind of felt the same way for Diggy Winbush, who was also a third-team selection. Really, really quality player, who number four in the total season in assists for the PacWest, number two since PacWest play started, and number one in assist-to-turnover ratio. We know for floor generals, especially you, Ku, when it comes to our point guards, we like them to take care of the ball, and we like them to make their free throws. That's exactly what Winbush does. So he has been an awesome addition. He's somebody who I thought should have gotten some recognition for newcomer of the year in the PacWest as well, being that he's the second leading scorer on the team on top of all of his passing. On top of that, I was a little confused that no Matthew Van Komen or Charlie Weber making it, though I would imagine both of those snubs coming because both of those bigs missed some time with injury this year.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest snub, though, and we all were talking about it in our group chat yesterday after everything was announced, that head coach of HPU, Jesse Nakanishi, getting snubbed for coach of the year. Coach of the year honors going to Scott Waterman of Academy of Art. But, like, we were all flabbergasted at that. I mean, what Jesse has been able to do with this squad coming in, I mean, yes, he was an assistant coach last year, but just outperforming preseason expectations by a long shot. How do you not give Coach of the Year to Jesse Nakanishi?
So I am glad you set it up like that, because I have been wondering the same thing since I got off my flight last night when I saw the announcement. And this is no disrespect to Coach Waterman over at ArtU, a multi-time Coach of the Year in the PacWest, who is phenomenal. But Art was selected to finish second in the PacWest. They finished tied for first in the PacWest. Whereas HPU, in the preseason coaches poll, selected ninth, by far outdoes that positioning, finishing third in the regular season, two games out of that regular, a share of the regular season crown. So I've been impressed impressed even feels like too weak of a word to say what I've been with Coach Nakanishi and this HPU team this year. So I was a little upset when I saw that Nakanishi didn't get that honor, mostly because everyone from the outside looking in thought HPU would not be a good team. And you could argue that by the end of this weekend, they have a chance to prove that they might be the best team. So I don't know. It was a little bit confusing to see.
Yeah, and not just, you know, the way that they finish, but we've been saying it, you know, almost ad nauseum at this point, that this is the first time since 2017 they've even made the postseason tournament. And it's just, to get a little insight to all of our listeners, there were quite a few expletives that were dropped in the text thread, considering that's how shocked I am for the fact that Jesse got snubbed like that. Anybody like that watches basketball, and you can see with your eyeballs I can go on forever, but yeah, this is not a disrespect, as you said, to Scott Waterman. Obviously, RU is a very, very solid team. They got the first round bye for a reason and into the semifinals. But nonetheless, when you think of what Coach of the Year that award would represent, you would think it would go to a coach that was able to take a team with little expectations and now actually be able to potentially win the conference title. But at the end of the day, I know if you ask Jesse that, he'll be like, well, now it's just even more to prove and prove all the doubters wrong that the Sharks are very much a legit team, and he is Coach of the Year in our eyes, at least. But so going to the game today, you know, you're staying in the same team or the same hotel as the team. Mahalo again to Sports Travel Hawaii for making this happen for the HPU Sharks and Hawaii Sports Radio Network. But what are the vibes like? How is the team feeling? How's Coach Nakanishi feeling? Just what is the overall vibe this morning?
Ever since I got in last night, the vibe has been the same, and that is everybody's pretty locked in. They're not, you wouldn't think that they are, just from talking to them off the start, just because of how relaxed they are in a lot of ways. You can see there's not a worry. There's not that tightness that you get with the postseason typically with them to start, but there's definitely a locked in thought process behind them. You know, last night I jokingly went along on room checks to make sure everybody was, you know, in their room with the assistant coaches. And it was almost like the players were checking on us first. It was very impressive. So this team is locked in, raring to go today. And it's going to need a really big time effort against a good Azusa Pacific squad that they have beaten twice. But Koo, we've said it on the show before, it's really hard to beat a team three times.
Yeah, and they're a solid team, and Hawaii Pacific taking on Azusa Pacific today at 10:30 a.m. So a little bit in a couple of hours, and you will be able to hear Paul again bring you the play-by-play live from Point Loma. What can you say, maybe just a brief summary on the couple of regular season games that they played against each other, and maybe what are the key takeaways that HPU needs to make sure they do in order to potentially beat a team three times in one season?
Well, we talk about rebounding a lot with a lot of teams, and I think that's probably going to be my main key when you do end up tuning into the pregame later today, is that rebounding against this team in Azusa Pacific that is third in the Pac West in total rebounding margin, winning almost every single game. They average 11 rebounds on the offensive glass, so you have to box out. And Matt Van Koman missed the first matchup between these two teams, had a career high, set a season high with 16 rebounds at Azusa Pacific back on February 22nd. So, like I said, going to be really important to rebound today. And the Sharks, the top shooting by percentage team from three-point range in the Pac West, going to be important for them to take a lot of the right shots today against an Azusa Pacific squad that is looking to go to their third straight or work towards their third straight championship game in the Pac West. They have fallen the past 2 years.
Going to be exciting again. You guys can tune into that game, and also follow Paul on social media at 12Brecht, B-R-E-C-H-T, because he will also bring you updates from the University of Hawaii Hilo and Biola game. Don't want to forget about our fellow Hawaii school that has also made it their game to follow HPU's game today for the quarterfinals. And should Hawaii Pacific win today, they will move on to take on Academy of Art and hopefully you know, justify that, or not justify, but show those doubters wrong. And Coach Jesse Nakanishi should have got Coach of the Year. Anywho, final thoughts from you, Paul, before I let you go.
Once again, huge, huge, huge mahalo to Sports Travel Hawaii for all they did to help put this on today, and hopefully a nice long run for the Sharks. Last thoughts from me. I'm excited for this one. I think the Sharks have been waiting a long time. I think the fans have been waiting a long time to return to the PacWest Conference tournament. And I think you'll see that with the effort today. Like I said, it's hard to beat a team three times, but at the end of the day, all you can do is put your best foot forward and try and out-effort the other team and let the cards fall where they may. And that's what HPU has done all year, and it's led them to this number three seed.
All right, Paul, well, we better let you go for now, but we will hear from you again in a couple of hours.
I will chat with you guys super, super soon. Thank you for tuning on in, guys.
Shoot. Paul Brecht. Our Paul Brecht there in San Diego, California, getting ready to bring you HPU versus Azusa Pacific in the quarterfinals of the PacWest Conference tournament. I still can't get over that. You can write Michael. I was a bit angry in our text message yesterday when it's not even a homer thing. It's just, it's still going to bother me.
Well, we've been sharing a few memes in our group text. So if, Jesse and the HPU Sharks win the championship on Saturday, I have a meme idea already to create. So
nice. I mean, even if is the meme worthy if they win today, and then if they were to at least beat RU, who he got snubbed by?
Yeah, I think if they beat RU, I think I could make the meme.
Okay, cool. Okay, you guys gotta win just so we can see the meme. But anyways, no, like Paul said, and that's just the world of sports. Hard to beat a team three times, but it'll be all about the rebounding. So today, 10:30, HPU versus APU in the quarterfinals of the PacWest Conference Tournament. And Paul Brecht will bring you the play-by-play, and you can listen right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. But of course, before that, it's almost like you have an extended pregame, because following this show, Sharks Weekly will feature HPU men's basketball, which you will hear from head coach Jesse Nakanishi and Mai Dusanich. So we recorded it a couple of days ago before they headed out to San Diego. So be sure to stick around after this show as well. But got to take a break, so we'll be right back to chat University of Hawaii men's volleyball next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Michael Lascaro. I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Don't forget, you guys can also text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Before we completely turn the page on HPU basketball and get into UH men's volleyball real quick, I just realized we should probably at least give you the snippet of the All PacWest men's basketball award. So as we mentioned and ranted about, coach of the year going to Scott Waterman of Academy of Art, player of the year Latrell Williams, who also got defender of the year from Academy of Art, newcomer of the year goes to Zach Paulson, freshman of the year Tice Paulson, from Point Loma. So I'm like, a little bit of a juice here, only going to the top two teams, which I guess makes sense, but still, Jesse Nakanishi should have been there. If we go through our Hawaii schools, so getting second team honors, no players from Hawaii schools made the first team, but getting second team honors, Melo Sanchez from Hawaii Pacific, Carlos Ramsey Jr. from Hawaii Hilo, and Kalik Mitchell from UH Hilo as well. And then third team, as we mentioned, Diggy Winbush from HPU, along with Mai Dusanich and Ross Reeves from Chaminade, making the All PacWest third team. So shout out to all of our players from the Hawaii schools here. Okay, getting into University of Hawaii men's volleyball, As we mentioned, big games coming up this week. The 28th Outrigger Volleyball Invitational, where Hawaii will play some pretty good teams. You know, just the number one team, too, that's coming into town in Grand Canyon. And then you have what will be fun against UC Irvine. But they start things off with Lewis tonight. Although, if you want to see some pretty fun men's volleyball and a first look at the number one team in the country, Grand Canyon and UC Irvine do play today at 4 o'clock, followed by Hawaii and Lewis. So before we give you all the things that you need to know, here is what Alakai Todd had to say when, you know, the media scrum earlier this week.
All right, man, we're getting into the meat of the schedule, but I just kind of want to know, how do you kind of assess where you guys are at going in now to the main part of the schedule? I mean, 14-1, 13 wins in a row. You guys have kind of done some load management. Just how do you feel about the guys, the team, just kind of where you're at now as we really get this thing cranked?
I think we've been working really hard lately, and no matter what our schedule may have shown or what teams we've been playing recently, I think just in the practice gym and some of the production we've gotten out of our team, I think we're headed in the right track, and we're ready to play some top-ranked teams this week.
Yeah, does it feel any different this week with the Outrigger finally here? I'm sure you guys have kind of been waiting for it a little bit, but does it feel any different this week than previous weeks?
Oh, yeah. It definitely feels different. You know, it's a packed week, three games this week, a lot of top five teams, top 15 teams here, so we're really excited and ready to get it going.
Yeah, man. I got to ask you about Shuey coming back, a guy you know pretty well. Like you said, he came into the program together. Just kind of how we're excited when you get a chance to maybe play a former teammates or just maybe play against a guy like him.
Yeah. Shuey is a really tough competitor, probably one of the best competitors I've met in my life so far. And we've come in this program at the same time. It was sad to see him leave for this final year, but really excited to have him come back and kind of go at it together, you know?
A little trash talking maybe on the court comes on that?
Of course.
Could you talk just about, I mean, the caliber of teams, I mean, having Grand Canyon, teams like that come in and play?
Yeah, I'm actually really impressed with them this year. You know, they've always been like a top team so far these past couple years, but we've never really had the chance to play them. So I'm really excited to play Grand Canyon, and also we have a guy with Hawaiian descent on their team, Nick Slight, is their setter leading them. So that should be really fun to play.
Yeah, and just what does it mean to, I mean, him and his team come back here and play right here in the stand?
Yeah, having the number one team in town against us will be really interesting. So, and it would be nice to see who comes out in the polls as number one after this week. This should be a pretty big week.
Yeah, could you talk just about your season? I mean, when it first started, a lot of people were like, oh, you're having a hot streak, and now it's 15 matches in, and it's not just a hot streak, it's kind of how you're playing. So could you just talk about the mentality of just starting this year to kind of where you're at and just the type of season you're having?
Yeah, so kind of just to go off of that, you know, basically this year started off with a little bit of nerves, so it was kind of tough in the beginning to figure out the way things went and get in a groove, and just having so much time on the court and being able to play in game situations, I think, gave me a chance to really get comfortable. And I think that's kind of the main thing. It's just being comfortable on the court in your own skin and figuring out your game and how you want to play.
How helpful is it to have the Stanford series under your belt going into this one, already kind of going up against some top five, top 10 type caliber when the stand is packed and loud?
Yeah, that helped a lot, having Stanford come here and just being able to play against them, and for our team to do well and go through some adversity after that first set of the first game, I think really helped the team and helped me as well with confidence, knowing that we can compete with these type of teams. But it hasn't really been something that I'm not used to, because I've been on this team for how many years, multiple national championship teams. The only guys I really played with my entire career are all national champions. So just having that type of experience through the past couple of years and hitting against those type of blockers and serving against those type of passers, I think, has really prepared me and the rest of the team for this upcoming series.
It was 9,000, I want to say, fans in house for that second Stanford game. You guys expecting something similar for some or maybe all these matches this week?
Yeah. I think these games will be pretty popular. It's the Outrigger Invitational, and we've got some high-caliber teams coming in. But I definitely expect GCU having the number one team on a Friday night coming in to be really packed, as well as the Lewis and Sunday game. I expect to be pretty packed as well, because UC Irvine, Brett Stewart coming back in, but it is a Sunday. People have work the next day, so we'll see.
How much does it help to have you guys have 11 games at home, that whole long streak of home games, home matches, where you haven't had to travel, you know, you guys have been able to be here the whole time? How much of an advantage is that?
I think it's really nice being able to play here in the stand and just be home with all of our fans. And then kind of the nicest thing about it is being able to be home while doing school. In a way, school is kind of a big task to handle, and it's been really nice to have that advantage of your extra free time to go talk with teachers. I think a lot of our guys have been taking advantage of that.
And that was University of Hawaii men's volleyball opposite and middle blocker Alaka Itad answering questions from the media earlier this week as they look to the Outrigger Invitational coming up, where they will face nationally ranked teams, all of them, in fact, in Grand Canyon, the number one ranked team currently tomorrow. First, they have to play the number 14 team in Lewis tonight. And then on Sunday, as you heard, they'll play the number 5 ranked team, UC Irvine, who has a former Rainbow Warrior on that team, and Brett Sheward finishing up his collegiate career over there. So it'll be some fun men's volleyball action. But Grand Canyon, I mean, if you take a look at their schedule, they have just been dominating so far this year. And it's really weird because I've mentioned this before. When I was playing at Chaminade, Grand Canyon was a Division II PacWest school, which only feels like yesterday. And now they are doing really well in a lot of their sports now that they've moved up to Division I. Their men's basketball team was pretty solid, and now their men's volleyball team up there. But they have wins over CSUN, who was 15 at the time, UC Santa Barbara. So they swept CSUN, beat Santa Barbara 3-1. They beat BYU twice in Provo, Utah, both sweeps. So that's already saying a lot. Again, at BYU. And then they only lost one set to USC in two games. So USC is number 10. And then they swept number 8 Stanford in both games that most recently. So now they come and they're going to play the number 5 ranked team in UC Irvine. So to say that this GCU squad is looking pretty good so far, yeah. It's going to be some fun volleyball this week in the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. But I had no idea that some of their set scores was like that. I'm looking at this in real time, and man, so they only lost 1, 2, 3, 4 sets throughout this beginning of the season so far. My goodness. I'm excited now to watch them play. I'll probably head out to that game tonight, or that first game today, to see Grand Canyon and UC Irvine play each other. So again, Grand Canyon, UC Irvine plays the first game today before Hawaii, the number 3 Rainbow Warrior team, and Lewis. And then tomorrow it'll be number 1 Grand Canyon and number 3 Hawaii. And then on Sunday it'll be Hawaii and UC Irvine for the Outrigger Invitational. So we hope to see you guys there at Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center for University of Hawaii men's volleyball. Currently, 14-1, 13 match win streak entering this week's Outrigger Invitational, which is second longest in the nation behind Grand Canyon. Oh my goodness, everything is just painting out for tomorrow. Hawaii has 10 Outrigger titles, including 4 of the last 6, and an all-time tournament record of 50-29. UC Irvine has 2 previous Outrigger appearances, including a championship in 2015. The Anteaters also competed in 2020 and were runner-up to host University of Hawaii, enters the tournament with a 6-match win streak. And of course, Grand Canyon, being that they haven't been in Division I for very long, this will be their first Outrigger appearance. GCU, who is the only unbeaten team in Division I, competed in the 2020 Rainbow Warrior Classic in Honolulu, finishing with a 1-2 mark. So a few years later, undefeated, only undefeated team left. It's going to be really, really fun. But anyways, got to step aside. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Michael Lascaro. As we chatted with him earlier, Paul Brecht is in San Diego, California, getting ready to bring you HPU men's basketball versus Azusa Pacific to open up the PacWest Conference tournament. That game will be at 10:30, and you can listen to it right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network or hawaiisportsradio.com. And following this show this morning, it's kind of like you'll have an extended pregame because we will have HPU Sharks Weekly, a pre-recorded version, but earlier this week, featuring HPU men's basketball head coach Jesse Nakanishi and captain Mai Dusanich. So be sure to stick around for that. All right, some of the other stuff going on at the University of Hawaii, as we mentioned, we were talking University of Hawaii men's volleyball in the previous segment, but I just thought about it. I was like, I should probably let all the fans know about the fun promotions and giveaways going on at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. So, of course, Outrigger Resorts and Hotels is the sponsor of the Invitational and will award a one-night stay and $100 in Outrigger Activities and Experiences certificates during each UH match. So stop by the new Outrigger photo backdrop and enter to win $25 in Kani Kapila gift certificates at Gate A. Visit the sports marketing table located at Gate A also to participate in the promotions and win great prizes. Tonight is 80s night. So experience a blast from the past with top music hits and 80s themed clips that will be played on the video board to give flashback to the iconic decade. Ooh, now I'm thinking. Trying to think if I have some cool 80s outfits to wear. Everyone's trying to encourage me to wear my sparkly jackets that I wear when I MC the women's basketball games. They're like, you should just wear it to regular games. I'm like, that takes away from my MC duties, but maybe tonight could be the night. Or actually tomorrow night too. So tomorrow is Pride Night. So celebrate the diversity and inclusion on Pride Night. So wear your favorite rainbow colored apparel and be one of the first 1,500 fans to receive rainbow colored lei at Gate A. And then Sunday is Military Appreciation Night. Members of the military, past and present, will be honored throughout the match. And the men's volleyball team will don special military-inspired uniforms as a tribute to the service members. So that's happening at the Outrigger Volleyball Invitational this weekend. Also, an alert that I saw yesterday afternoon that softball, so the Outrigger Rainbow Wahine Classic, was canceled on the first day due to the crazy weather. Now today's looking pretty beautiful. But so they will resume today. So today's schedule will be CSU and UConn at 11:30, CSU and UNM at 2, then UH versus UConn at 4:30, and UH versus UNM at 7 o'clock. And then, man, also coming up this week, there's baseball. So much stuff going on. Michael, where will you be?
I think I'll be on tomorrow. I'll be at the Stan Sheriff, and I'll be at the Stan Sheriff on Saturday. And we'll see about Sunday.
We'll see what happens tomorrow's game against Grand Canyon and everything. And then, yes, Saturday, senior night for men's basketball.
I am intrigued about the military styled uniforms. Oh. I want to see what they look like first.
Nothing will beat those vintage ones that they wore not too long ago, like where it's like a, it has kind of that brown, like super light cream or brown tint. And then you have like the old school like lettering and stuff. I don't know if you were able to see those yet.
Is that the one that looked like the license plate?
I think so. Like the old school license plate?
Yeah, the old Hawaii license plate.
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's it.
Yeah, as a photographer, I want to have like all these photos of them in different uniforms. And I think I missed out on that one.
Well, I'm sure they're going to wear it again. That's right. That's what you asked me about the women's basketball one, too. You're like, which uniforms are they wearing this night? Because I don't have the women's team in the vintage uniforms yet. And they did wear those uniforms, by the way.
Next year.
When they have all new uniforms and have even better auction items that are coming up. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, because, oh my gosh, I can't believe this auction thing. So far, no one's outbid me. for the number 24 jersey. Thank you very much. We're talking about the Island Heritage auction going on right now for the University of Hawaii men's basketball team. You can also make donations to scholarship funds to Rainbow Warriors or Rainbow Wahine. And like we mentioned, there's already a few player jerseys that are sold out, that being Jovan McClanahan, Noel Coleman. And by sold out, I mean there's a bid now option for $2,500, and those are gone. The number 23 jersey, Morsek, Akita Jacobs, and Juan Munoz, all $2,500 a pop. This is something I didn't mention earlier that I just saw. They have, and of course, when I'm about to talk about it, I lose it. There was like a sports pass or sports passport thing. I'm not sure what it is. It's like you get to pick. Here it is. So it's $2,800, and it's a sports passport, and you get to, so you select your destination from the cities of Boston, Chicago, Phoenix, or Denver. Tailor your experience further by choosing between basketball, baseball, or hockey. Each option offers an unforgettable 3-night stay for two adults in the chosen city, paired with two mid-level game tickets to witness, I love how it's written, to witness the heart-pounding action of the sport selected. Whether you crave electric atmosphere of a basketball game, the timeless tradition of baseball, or the intensity of hockey, the sports passport guarantees an immersive and thrilling adventure for sports enthusiasts and travelers alike. So 3 nights for two adults, mid-level tickets in either Boston, Chicago, Phoenix, or Denver, and baseball, basketball, or hockey. What would you choose?
And it's the same all the way across, the price, the $2,800?
Yeah, so it's just a bidding auction item, so it starts at $28,500, and the buy now option is $4,200. So which city and which sport would you choose?
So it was Boston, Denver, Chicago,
and Phoenix, and baseball, basketball, hockey.
I guess if I won the bid for fairly cheap, or if I won the bid, I would probably go to Boston because it's the farthest and probably be the most expensive flight. And if I'm in Boston, can't go any wrong with any of those three teams in Boston. You got the Celtics, you got the Red Sox, you know, you got the Bruins, you know, all great teams. So I think I'd probably pick the Boston one. I've never been to Boston. I've never been to Phoenix either, or Chicago, or Denver. So that argument's kind of out the window. But it's the farthest, so if I'm bidding money, I think I'd want to go the farthest.
Ooh, that's a good option. I can see that reasoning. Yeah, this is kind of difficult for me. So I've been to Chicago multiple times, and it's my favorite city. I've been to Boston. I haven't been to Denver. So it'd be between Boston and Chicago, because I can never go to Chicago enough. Hopefully I get to go again this year. Boston, I've been to the city, but haven't been to a baseball game or a hockey game there yet. So I definitely would want to go to a baseball game just because it's iconic in Boston. So that would be one choice. I do like your reasoning about going that far. And I just love the city itself. Like, it's a very pretty city. It's very historic. I've done like the Paul Revere house and like the walking tour that they have there. It's really, really cool. I love Boston so much. Plus I have some friends out all the way on the East Coast too, so that would be really nice because it's far. So, and then Chicago, I have gone to Wrigley a lot. I can't get enough of it. But I think this year, just being where sports is at right now, I'd want to go to Chicago and go to a hockey game. I'd want to go to see the Blackhawks because they have Connor Bedard. And I want to see, for those of you that our few hockey fans that might be listening, I would definitely want to go see this who's supposed to be like the next greatest thing since Sidney Crosby, Connor Bedard. Definitely want to go out and watch a Chicago Blackhawks game and see just how good it is. And hopefully it would line up where it would be maybe the Blackhawks and the Penguins taking on each other, because that opened the season and I really wanted to go. Didn't get to see it. I don't even know if they have each other on the rest of the schedule, but I think so. Have you been to a hockey game yet?
Actually, I've my first professional game was a hockey game in New York. I got to see the New York Rangers versus the Ottawa Senators. So, I do follow hockey here and there.
Yeah, for all of you guys. I haven't talked about it in a while, but especially for all of our friends that like to go to Vegas, I highly encourage you guys to go to a Golden Knights game or just any hockey game. Trust me, if you don't even understand the rules, it's really fun. Like, it's probably the best sport to watch live, and it's a good time. So trust me, go to hockey. It's super fun, but that'll be fun. UHEvent.com to bid on some of these auctions items. But we've got to go for Michael Escaro. I'm Kool-Aid. Bye!